Mr. Lazenby, reel 6.
In addition to this wide range of boats which were raced, were there different classes of crews as well?
Oh, yes. All the different divisions of the ship took place. I mean, the seamen, the stokers had their own boat's crew. The officer would have a boat's crew. The boys would have a boat's crew, usually a whaler. Everybody. But the favourite, of course, was the seamen. They took most of the boats.
With this great variety of boats and crews taking part in the regatta, was there any one particular race which was regarded as the main event?
Yes, the seaman's cutter. The seaman's cutter was always the big event of the day. If you won the seaman's cutter's race, you was on the top. Plus the end, others like veterans, but they didn't count much. It's the seaman's cutter that mattered.
Could you give me an impression of the scene and the kind of activities that would go on regatta days in Malta?
Usually we'd be moored in two lines. Four ships were actually, two lines of two. We moored to a boy. And so there was a sort of an aisle between us, a space of sea between us. And right at the end, because the longest race was 3 miles, we never raced any more than 3 miles, at the farther end would be the starter's boat, probably one of our picket boats which carried a saluting gun. Because in those days, the picket boats had a proper mounting for a 3-pounder gun, saluting gun, fired blanks. And at the other end would be the finishing line. And any boats we could spare, dicers and things like that, would line the route. But mostly the ship's sides were crowded with people watching. And the paymaster used to run a book on it as well. You could all bet on the outcome of a race. And it'd start, and usually they used to tow the boats up to the starting point. See, when because this used to go on all day. You'd start off with a race about 10 o'clock in the morning and go right through to perhaps 6 o'clock at night. One race after the other. Veterans races and boys races and boys gigs races and all sorts. And they'd start off with a saluting gun and then get cheered all the way down. Ah, sweating away. Just. Oh, dear.
In addition to the races themselves, were there any social events on regatta days as well?
No, all the time was taken up with the races and the betting.
Now, another form of activity which you told me involved competition between ships was evolutions.
Yes.
Could you first make clear to me exactly what evolutions were?
Well, this was a competition on efficiency lines. I can never understand why they used the particular word evolution. But when the fleet was in company, in harbour, every Monday, they used to have evolutions which were conducted by the flagship. The flagship would make the appropriate signals to all the fleet to do a certain thing. And when it was done, they would break a pennant at the yardarm to say it was completed. And they were timed. See who won, who came in second, who came in third, and who came in fourth. And these things were always unexpected. Because although you had some idea what was coming, you never knew when it was coming or if it would come. For instance, you suddenly get a signal, drop an anchor. You were tied up to a buoy, you had to drop an anchor. Because you knew later on, it'd be weigh anchor. And it even might even be weigh anchor by hand, which meant getting the capstan bars out and going round, as they used to do in the old days. Or it might mean away all boats pull round the fleet. Or away a seaboat that's already rigged up for life-saving. Or they might ask you to take another boat and sail it to the flagship. Fire a rocket. Fire a saluting gun. Collision mat. That was another favourite one.
Which?
A collision mat. The collision mat was a great big canvas thing. I suppose it's big, 12 feet square. The main collision mat. It was made of canvas, double thickness canvas. On one side of it were all what we call thrums. That's pieces of tarry hemp, put through like a mat, like you do an ordinary pricked mat, you see. And it was lowered over the side where a hole was supposed to be. And so he had a bottom line of chain right under the ship's bottom from one side to the other. And you lowered this mat down, you had a fore and aft line as well, and you lowered this line over the hole, and the pressure of the water was supposed to push this mat in and close the hole. That was a temporary affair, that was a collision mat. And you had to get it over in no time, and you had to get it over on the correct place too, because they used to signal just where they wanted it, at such and such a bulkhead. All the bulkheads were numbered from forward to aft.
Thrums is T-H-R-U-M-S, is it?
T-H-R-U-M-B-S.
U-M-B-S, I see. Fine. For evolutions, did you train very much?
No. You expected to know it because as a boy, well, every seaman, he had to know where every rope, every cable, every reel of wire was. All about the cables and anchors, every seaman knew that, and all the derricks, the main derrick and the smaller derricks.
Now, during your tour in the Mediterranean, you served both on the Emperor and the Benbow.
Mm-hmm.
As regards spit and polish, was there much difference between the standards aboard the two ships?
There was a difference between the standards aboard all four ships of that squadron, and we always reckon that the Benbow was the best. Whether it was or not, I don't know, but we got a reputation for being tiddly, and everybody knew us as the four Bs.
What's that?
Well, that was a Benbow, Blanco, Bugles, Bluebell, and I won't say the other one.
Yes, say the other one.
Bullshit.
Sorry, say that again. I didn't quite get them.
Yeah. There was, we were called the Benbow, and so we had, and we were a member of the 4th Battle Squadron, and so the really 4B apostrophe S was our title, something. But we called ourselves the 4Bs, which was Blanco, Bluebell, Bugles and Bullshit.
Where did Bluebell come in?
Bluebell was metal polish. It's exactly the same as Brasso, but in the Navy it was Bluebell. Ricketts made it, but they called it Bluebell. All down South Chatham way, you couldn't buy Brasso, you couldn't buy Bluebell.
The Mediterranean station acquired a reputation for being a place where spit and polish was done to a very high degree. Do you think it was any greater than elsewhere?
Yes, the conditions were better. It was not easy to polish steelwork and brasswork in home waters where the atmosphere was damp and salty, because it's almost impossible to polish brasswork when it's wet or damp. Out there, of course, we had a nice temperate climate and it was dry, and we could polish the steel and the brasswork. Yeah.
Now, as far as the daily routine was concerned, could you give me some examples of the kind of spit and polish activities that took place every day?
Oh, yes, every day we had what are called quarters clean guns. That means that every man went to his quarters, his gun quarters, whether it was a gun or a searchlight or a torpedo tube, and there we spent about a quarter of an hour at quarters clean guns, just polishing brasswork and steelwork on that particular gun or piece of apparatus where you would go to action stations. And so that was polished every day. The gun, the ends of the gun muzzles, you know, and the tompions that went in, all beautiful brass, moulded brass with the fixed ship's crest on it and all. And all polished.
How detailed was this polishing? I mean, to what sort of minutiae of items would you go down?
Oh, almost every detail on a gun was polished. Anything that was brass could be polished was polished.
But it wasn't just guns you were explaining. There was a host of other things that were done when quarters cleans guns.
No, this was at a different time. After quarters clean guns, before quarters clean guns, when you scrub the decks, then you applied hands to bright workstations, which did go into some very minute things, like the clips on doors and the bulkhead lamps and handrails, almost everything he could find, or little tallies that were made of brass, all had to be polished every morning. That was by the seaman who had already scrubbed the decks.
What was the Navy way of doing brass work?
Well, for one thing, we didn't have metal polish. Unless we only got Bluebell if we bought it. But few of us could really afford Bluebell. And in those days, we used to get paste, metal paste, this polish was. But we used to take our issue of that and mix it with brick dust and oil and all sorts and make this polish up ourselves. And, well, then our own secret recipe, but I think they're all about the same.
What was your secret recipe?
Torp oil. That was oil that was used in torpedoes, which is a much finer oil than gun oil and ordinary lube oil. It's a very fine lubricating oil, because I was a torpedo man, I could get a bit of it now and again.
Was there any other reason apart from cost why you didn't just use Bluebell?
No, Bluebell would be very nice if we could afford it, because we'd use a lot of it. Some of them used to.
Mm-hmm.
You were never issued with Bluebell.
Yes. Was there a Navy way of scrubbing decks, which was part of the daily routine?
Oh, yes, every morning you scrubbed red, a big scrubbing brush on the end of the handle, like a brush, like a broom. And it would be hosed down every morning, and all the that particular part of the deck would come along scrubbing with the brooms, and then you'd go down with big coir brooms and brush all the water off as much as you could, and then squeegees. And then the boys had what we call swabs, which are also made of old hemp, strung round and all teased out until it made almost like a great big horse's tail with a big handle on, grommet on for a strop, you know. And you'd swish that backwards and forwards and then put it over a guardrail or somewhere and wring it all out. And then the boys always got the job of mopping out the ring bolts and all the little depressions in the deck. And then, of course, once a week, you holystoned it with sand. And
before we go on to holystoning, you mentioned coir brooms.
Yeah.
How do you spell coir and what were they?
C-O-I-R.
Sorry, spell it and tell me what they were.
C-O-I-R, but it's just like, you see, the people work using today for sweeping up the roads. Stiff broom like that. Great big coir bristles.
Yes.
And used them.
Yes.
Brush the water off the deck of that.
Now, once a week, you holystone. That was on Saturday, was it not?
Yes, Saturday morning.
What would the scene be?
Ahead.
Oh.
The decks would be wet. Ah, you've got running out, are you?